Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two here on WEEI Afternoons. Thanksgiving week. We're all building up towards the big holiday. Although if you're Mark Schlereth, apparently your plate is pretty simple. It's just turkey with some cranberry sauce slathered all over it that you made yourself. Fitzy, I make fun of you for being a little bit more cultured than I am. You know, your cave-aged Gouda and things you like. Did you know that there were fancy cranberries from Alaska that were special?
I did not know that they grew wild like huckleberries or, you know, or blackberries. That's pretty wild. I'd actually love to try them. Normally, we just suffice on the ones in the bogs around here in the Northeast, you know, and also appreciate the people who put on the waders and pick them, considering most cranberry bogs are rife with spiders. This does beg the question, Andy, Ted, fresh homemade cranberry sauce or cranberry sauce from a can?
Canned and jellied. I do not like chunks in my cranberry sauce.
Not a fan of cranberry.
At all?
Nope, not really.
You know, Ocean Spray, I mean, just shuddered.
I will, if I have to, if it's, you know, shoved down my throat, I guess I will take it, but it's not my favorite.
So the opposite end of the Schlereth spectrum, who said that's correct, all he puts on.
Correct.
Yeah,
but I also, you know, part of it is how you were introduced to food as a young kid, and I was not introduced to a lot of food, so I have a very unsophisticated palate.
I will also say, Fitzy,
so I would say canned. If I had to, keep me the can, just like you, Andy.
On the plate or on the sandwich, Ted?
Oh, wow. Just, you know, on the plate's fine.
Yeah. I do like it in the sandwich.
I would never think of putting cranberry on a sandwich.
I also would never think of buying cranberry sauce other than this week. I can tell you, I literally go 51 weeks a year with no... Maybe Christmas if you do a turkey or something for Christmas, but literally, basically 50 weeks a year, I do not buy cranberry sauce. It's only these holidays. Same.
Okay, there's a joint right next to me that makes... They do a Thanksgiving week special burger. It's a turkey burger with brie for the cheese, and they make a house-made cranberry orange marmalade habanero burger.
I definitely would give it a go. Any burger I'm willing to try at least once. It's 3 o'clock. You heard Ted Johnson's here. That means it's time for the 3-point stance.
Green Night Team!
It's the 3-point stance.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good.
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Got to scores. Ties it 3-3.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you couldn't dream of putting cranberry on your sandwich, you gotta get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance, and are you ready?
I am.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm starting to think that Jaylen Brown should stay off Twitch because he had another Twitch session that made the rounds. Stiz, roll the audio, and I don't care for it.
Times where things was looking rough here in Boston. I've been in, I don't know how many times they put me in trade talks for whatever reason. It was always something, you know what I mean? It was other players that, you know, Brad or whoever thought the organization was better fit or they were paying more money, whatever. So I was like, you know, I think it may be time to go. You know what I mean? I think I can go somewhere else. I think I'm talented. I think I can score the ball at a very, very high level. And I'm not allowed to throw the same like other players because I'm on a different type of whatever.
Stop talking, Jaylen Brown. Stop doing Twitch sessions because for you, the twitching becomes bitching. All you do on these is bitch about something. So to just put this in perspective, this was about his relationship with Tracy McGrady, who is clearly a mentor for him. And at this point in time where Jaylen Brown wanted to leave because everybody was mean to him and everybody thought he could be traded and all this, Tracy McGrady, who left Toronto to go be on his own and become a star, gave him the advice to stay. That resonated with Jaylen Brown. He did stay. But Jaylen, this is all water under the bridge. I support you more than almost anybody in this town. I defend you almost more than anybody. Stop talking. Let the water under the bridge be under the bridge. They gave you a Supermax deal. You won a title. You're a superstar with this team. Stop twitching and bitching about the past.
Did they try to trade him last week? Because it sounds like really just recent in his voice, like it happened yesterday.
Okay, so you, Ted, I'm glad you brought that up. You're familiar with
that audio is incredible.
It's incredibly annoying if you're a Jaylen Brown fan.
Wow, like the fact that you said instead of Twitch, it's bitch.
It really
is. I'm done with all the complaining. I'm done with it.
But his timing, he does. The last two summers, he kind of has like an interview where he starts kind of bitching a little bit.
Bringing up old
stuff right before the season starts. And now they're in the middle of the season. Oh, God.
I hate it. And I always use this comparison for Jaylen Brown. Is like you think everything's good with your wife, your girlfriend, your significant other, and you get into a little fight about something small that turns into something big where things that are brought up from 6 months ago, 2 years, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Thought we were just arguing that I left the dishes in the sink. Why are we talking about 2 years ago? That's Jaylen Brown.
Well, I would push back. In his mind, it's bigger than doing the dishes. It's a bigger deal than what you think it is.
So
him being traded, he feels like it's a betrayal.
He was never traded.
Well, him and being thought of to be traded.
No, I know. But they pay him a boatload of money. They gave him the Supermax.
So true.
Right?
Yeah.
You're here. You could have left. You chose money over freedom because you could have let your contract play out, signed a very big deal elsewhere, just not quite as big as here. You chose the money, you chose the title, you chose Boston. So stop talking about the bad times, please. I love you, Jaylen Brown, but this is infuriating.
Hey, sorry, Fitz, I got to jump in. That is the best counter I think you could make is you agreed to the contract.
Right.
Stop bitching about stuff that happened before you signed your big contract.
Correct. Stiz, I know you're passionate about this. What do you got?
I love Jaylen Brown. I really, really do. I'm not joking, but it's just, it gets hard as a Boston fan. Time after time again, he is always bitching about Boston. It's like always, the fans don't love me. The fans don't show me enough respect. I was thinking again, and every other week he's complaining
or also,
about
Stiz, what
this
about,
city.
Like, remember, I couldn't buy a house. It was difficult for me to start a business.
Yes, I have to imagine it's not a hard gig being Jaylen Brown. You know, like, I just find it hard to believe. I said this before. Like, I don't think there's any bar in the city where Jaylen Brown would not walk in and get a hero's welcome.
Right, right.
Like, the city loves Jaylen Brown, but it's stuff like this. It's just constant.
But he acts like they don't, though. And he's been here long enough to feel the love. Have you ever heard him that pointed in that just very direct in how he thought? I don't think I've ever heard him so clearly stated how being on the trading block, how he felt about that.
Right.
Exactly.
And it sounded fresh in his mind, even though it's old on the calendar.
Right.
It's been a while.
Oof.
And I'm not saying he, you know, there were probably frustrations along the way. Like, I get that. You were in trade talks. You didn't want to leave. You wanted to be here. Or you don't think you're treated the same as Tatum and all that. There's probably some truth to what he talks about, but it's old news. It's what you had your opportunity for freedom. You didn't choose freedom. You chose money, and it worked for you. You chose money. You're a champion. The whole thing has worked out nicely, except you can't let it go. And you keep.
Well,
the other thing is, why does he go on Twitch? Like, what does he get out of Twitch?
Let's hold on. If you listen to what he said, he's like, he feels as if he's on a different trajectory because of how the Celtics have used him.
Yeah.
That he would be in a different place if from a career standpoint, personally, if he was on another team, on another trajectory.
Then
that's
go.
What he's complaining, right, Fitz? I don't know. Yeah.
He could have gone, Fitzy. He could have asked for a trade back then. He's like, I heard trade rumors. Make them happen. I want out. Right?
He could have said that. You know what? Ask for one now. When Tatum comes back, ask for one. Go ahead.
Right. He's got that, like, grass is greener mentality sometimes, but it's like, the grass is greener where you grow it. Like, maybe if you just tried embracing the city a little more. And he does. Well, like,
and he does off the court.
Yes, he does off the court. Like, he does a lot of stuff
comment.
With the city.
Not with this comment.
I know.
No. He takes away all the good.
Exactly, Ted. When someone like me, who's like a homer, passionate kid from Boston, hears that last night, it's like, oh my God. Like, then leave. Then just get out of here, Jalen. You know, like, if that's how you feel.
You know what this reminds me of, guys? And I think actually a lesson was learned, or he walked it back and started saying less. Remember when Robert Kraft was on the Breakfast Club podcast and went in and all on about how, like, and that's why I had to fire Belichick. And we were like, we didn't ask. We didn't need to know this. Like, why are we reopening old wounds? This sleeping dog has been let lie for a long time. Why is he walking over and kicking it to wake up?
Yeah, I don't know. Too comfortable, these extended Twitch sessions. Maybe you say too much. Because the story was kind of a nice one. Oh, Tracy McGrady's my mentor. He gave me some good advice that really resonated. He had experience. Like, I was appreciative of having that. Like, you could leave out the part about, oh, they always wanted to trade me, and I'm not developing, and I didn't develop the way I could have somewhere else.
Yeah.
He even made it personally. Threw Brad in there. Yeah, he's like, whatever Brad thought.
Oh, that was totally, Andy, this is... I feel like this is the whole show. We could almost do a whole... No, I'm serious.
At a different time, we could.
Because of those comments from him on Twitch, also combined with the comments after the Nets loss. Like, what he said after the Nets loss, and, you know, guys are coming and not ready to play, and he's calling dudes out. You know, it's a little suspect, man. I mean, dude, you got to... Time and place. And this was not the time and place for, honestly, the comments after the Nets game and this Twitch appearance was troublesome.
Say less.
That's troublesome.
Right? He needs to say less.
You don't think this is going to drive – this is going to be a bigger deal?
Feels like it could be.
People are going to call. People are going to have an opinion about this for sure. It's going to ruffle some feathers immediately.
We will never, ever forget these comments, and we'll always reference them when something feels fishy going on with him or the team with him.
You guys know how I feel about him, and I support him. I feel like I'm where Stiz was with Belichick. Like, when you're like, you got blinders on, you're seeing the positive, and then you're like, your eyes are open to some of the negative. Like, but I can't defend this. There's no defense of this.
But the people that are anti-JB reference these things. Isn't the first time, Andy.
Right, right. And he's just giving them more fodder. Like, he could just keep his mouth shut and, I don't know, average like 29 points a game.
People think he should be considered for the MVP if the record was better.
Right. So how about just let your basketball speak for you? And I'm not telling you to shut up and dribble. I didn't say shut up and dribble. Yeah. I'm just saying you're having a good season. Terp is telling us all the time what a great year he's having. Furzoco is telling us. These basketball nerds are telling us he's having a great year.
All the time. Oh, my God.
All the time.
When they come in here.
So maybe.
Love you
guys. Almost like he's Kato.
Maybe don't Twitch. Because, like, it seems like you get really comfortable on Twitch and more words come out.
It's like, you know what? No one's listening to this.
Right.
You know, it's just me and the guy interviewing or whoever.
And then it's on social media and boom, a million people have seen it.
Yeah.
I wonder where this is headed. I really do. I wonder when Jason Tatum comes back where this is headed, if this is really the point to where he has sunk to in his Celtic career. But that one has plenty more meat left on the bone to debate later on as we get into the Celtic season. Fitzy, your time is now, and are you ready?
Indeedly doodly, neighborino.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, there are a number of people like myself, or so I believe. I'll just start with me, who believe that the New England Patriots at 10-2 certainly were not a paper tiger, nor were they fool's gold. Yeah, 10-2. It's pretty amazing the record this team has right now. Set your hands at 10-2 on the wheel, Teddy.
10-2.
All right, so we're 10-2, right? That's great. That's awesome. But, you know, are they really a 10-2 team? Well, you are what your record says you are. But this team needs some tests. This team needs more. They really need to sharpen the iron. They need to be battle tested. They need more than just on the road at Buffalo. They need more than just on the road at Tampa, both teams of which have struggled recently. Well, you know what, folks? Now the Patriots have that test, that adversity that will possibly make them a better football team and make them ready for the postseason has arrived in the form of the injury bug. With Jared Wilson and Will Campbell both being out for at least 4 weeks, if not the duration of the regular season, this will call upon the resilience, the strength, the dedication, and the creativity of the coaches, the coordinators, and the players to gut it out and make sure they get that number one seed. I, for one, welcome the adversity.
Welcoming adversity through injuries. That's an interesting spin on. They're definitely going to get tested, Ted.
It's a this is a big test for them, guys. If they pass this test, I think they can do just about anything.
Oh, I will say, if they run the table, which we were starting to talk about before these injuries, right? We were starting to talk like, oh my
God. We set the floor at what, Andy?
13-4 was our
Correct.
Floor.
Wow, it was. And how many games they got left? They got six.
They got five games left.
So that would, wow.
Including Bills and Ravens.
15-2.
We talked about Vegas jumped the number up to 12.5 over-under for wins.
New England's least favorite number, 12.5.
So Fitzy, I agree with you. If they run the table now without their left tackle, without their left guard, without their free agent.
Or go 4-1 even, Andy.
Yeah, 4-1. Okay, yeah. If you want to say that, so they end up at, 14-3. 14-3, you're thinking about, this is a really damn good football team that made itself even more tough to deal with heading into the postseason, I guess I'd say.
I'd say the only game that we're going to not judge them on, though, is the last game. If they go fit, so that means 14-3, so that means they lost one game.
Yep.
And it has to be that last game because they didn't care enough about winning it. So they put all the backups in there.
Oh.
That's the only way that we would. Otherwise, do the Ravens look really good right now? Do the Buffalo Bills look really? I mean, we're all talking about. We got texts from Dan and everybody over the weekend. Are you as impressed with that win over the Bills? Are you as impressed with that win over the Bucks?
Lost a little something.
I mean, there's going to be every opponent they have the rest of the way. We're going to question whether or not if they lose to them. You know, those teams were worthy of beating the Patriots, you know?
But we questioned them coming off Sunday because we were saying
of course
they were facing the worst defense in the history of football, and they had all these chances at the one-yard line and couldn't gain a yard against the worst defense in the history. So, yeah, there's a lot going on.
We're waiting to be critical of them. We're just waiting. We're just waiting for that opportunity that we can just.
Probably some truth to that.
Maybe not us as much as the national media, really.
Day two.
Oh, definitely the Cam Newtons, the Fool's Gold, those people, the strength of schedule, all those people are waiting to pounce, the tomato cans you've beaten. But even us, because we had built them up so far that I think the only thing was to look for warts. You had had some quiet warts that were building with red zone defense
things. No, I'm concerned still. Oh,
so,
of course.
Yeah, they're going to have a chance, Fitzy, just to get back to your three-point stance. They are absolutely, because if they keep rolling, then you can jam your fool's gold right up your bum, right? Like, that's you're done with the fool's gold thing if they lose all these starters and keep on winning. So,
correct.
This is an interesting stretch for them with the injuries.
More on the Patriots coming up during Ted's TED Talk in about 10 minutes. And if you missed it, 10-2. Ted Johnson, your time is now.
Okay, here we go. We might need some help from some from Andy and Dan on this 3-point stand. But here we go. Okay, so Sonny Gray, the Red Sox signed Sonny Gray. There's a lot of people that aren't happy with it. But you know what I was thinking? And I confirmed this with Dan. So this is there's a merit to this. Does this player, Sonny Gray, remind you of anybody the Red Sox picked up last year? Is there any way that they looked at Sonny Gray and they go, you know what? If he turns out like this guy, we're going to be okay. And the guy that I'm talking about, this guy, the four previous years before he got to Boston this year, had an ERA of 4.46, 3.72, 3.09, 3.79, and then this year, a 1.17 ERA. Can anybody guess who that
Aroldis
might
Chapman?
Be? Andy, go!
Chapman!
Aroldis Chapman, who's 37 years old. Sonny Gray's 36 years old. So my guess is they feel as if, you know what, we get Sonny Gray, the same thing's going to happen. He's going to get it with our pitching coaches, he's going to get it in our system, and he's going to go revert back to those days when he was, pitching for the Yankees back in 2019 or the Chicago Cubs back in 2016. Kind of Aroldis Chapman hadn't performed like he did this year in years. So that is my guess. They feel like they can get him to pitch like Aroldis Chapman did this year at the closer role.
I love the optimism. Welcome to the optimism side of the bandwagon here, Ted. And if you remember, I believe Chapman was the first signing, right?
There you go, Dan. That's the I wanted to get Dan involved. That is the point Dan made. It was the very and what did we say when he was signed last year for the first
too much money for a long
there
reliever.
You go.
Not that
go.
Good, old.
There we go.
And now we're saying the same thing. Yeah. So I like Ted, so the numbers, the ERA for the last 3 years went from 2.79 to 3.84 to 4.28, trending obviously wrong direction, right? but that doesn't mean you can't turn around a trend. And they do fancy themselves pitching experts. Andrew Bailey and Jason Veritek and the whole consortium of brains back there, spin rates and
dude, Connor Wong gets these pitchers to, you know, pitch like they've never pitched before, right?
So Ted likes the move.
That was why they signed Connor Wong to a 1-year deal. He helps our pitchers, yeah.
So like the move.
You know what? I'm okay with it. I'm not gonna bitch at it right now. You know, talk to me midway through the season. See how it's going.
Well, also talk to us maybe late winter. If we're still leaning on this as the best move they made all offseason, we'll be bitching.
Talk to me. You're right. The first day of training camp.
Okay. And figure out what they did.
Yes. That's a better way to put it.
Is this their third best move, their second best move, their fourth, their first?
I hope it's like their fourth or fifth best. Like, or fifth or sixth, actually.
If this is their fifth or sixth best move, Ted, then...
for a middle rotation
game, we're going to the World Series, baby.
Let's go, baby.
I like where your brain's at.
At least fourth or fifth best.
Yeah, this can't change what we heard, Fitzy, of the impact bat, the complementary bat, and the number two starter that Breslow left the meetings with.
Fourth. At least.
Has to be.
That's why I'm saying fifth or sixth.
And there are reports flying all over the socials from your veritable self-anointed insiders that say the Red Sox not only continue to plan to pursue a number two starter, but that including Brian Bayo in that deal is not off the table.
Oh, that's interesting.
How about that?
We got to put a pin in that and talk about that. So if you trade for a high-end starter but lose Bayo, how does that feel? How high is the high-end starter?
I'd be fine with that.
Did you see Bayo in September?
I did.
Yeah.
But he's still relatively
still young. I get it.
Still developing on some level.
Yeah, he's been put in enough high-pressure situations, though. He's been tested. I feel like he is what he is.
Yeah, there could be some truth to that. All right, that's going to put the wraps on the three-point stances. That was a very energetic three-point stance trio today.
Well, this is a fun day to work today. There's a lot of good stuff.
There really is.
Good stuff.
And you're not wrong.
10-2. Meaty, 10-2.
Jaylen Brown could have been a full hour, if not a full show, and we squeezed it into a three-point stance because
10-2.
We still got football to talk about. Ted is here. Ted has been waiting, all right, more than 24 hours. He needs to get his reactions to the Patriots win in Cincinnati that came at a cost. That's right. Ted Talk is up next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons. I mentioned it yesterday. We're in our studios powered by Verizon. Ted Johnson, what do you think of the holiday feel? Do you smell the Christmas tree? You see the Christmas tree? You a holiday guy? You feel it? Is it giving you a little boost in energy to see the tree?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I got to look at Hillman's face right in front of me, though.
Well, you know.
Jeez, what the heck? Other than that, you know, it's a beautiful tree. Is that real? It's a real tree?
Oh, yeah. You didn't smell it?
I didn't really smell it.
And you'll notice later when somebody forgets to water it, when the needles start to fall off mid-December.
Oh, yeah, in about 3 weeks.
And then don't light a cigarette or anything I'm within 15 feet of it.
Give me the fake. We had a fake. The fake is just better.
No.
I'm I'm kind of pro fake in a lot of things.
I've heard that about you. I think you've admitted it on the air.
Yeah, big fan of fake. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some artists out there. So fake is good these days. You know?
It's the smell, though. It's the smell of that real tree that does it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stiz, we weren't talking about trees, Stiz. But you brought smell in. That was a weird comment.
Yeah, that doesn't really fit with what we're talking about.
He's talking about leather, obviously, guys.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
So, Ted Johnson, I'm sure, has some very strong opinions, like we all have off that Cincy game.
You know, it was just there's just a lot of kind of good stuff to talk about in this game.
Okay, well, you're going to get to talk about it because it's time for you to talk.
It's time for a TED Talk.
In a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
This was a disappointing play. Patriots had momentum.
From three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
This guy is one of the best inside linebackers in football.
It's like playing hide-and-go-seek with the football. The snap of the ball.
Say hi. Right.
On WEEI Afternoons.
So, Teddy, I feel like we've discussed this before in some form or fashion, but first on your pecking order is the end of half execution for your New England Patriots under Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I didn't. Did you guys have any issues with how they ended that first half? I just thought there were some definite issues. You know, they're getting too cute, trying almost to get the, you know, run to get the clock down so the other team can't score right before half.
Oh, yeah.
Which is exactly what the other team did. Yep. So they bungled that. I just don't like some of the execution that this is. Look, they've turned out okay. And believe this is kind of insane to say this. I'm sitting here bitching about the end of the half execution, yet they're second in the league in points in 2 minutes. You know how many points they've scored in 2 minute drives this year?
No, but you're going to tell me.
57.
Wow.
57.
Wow.
Points. And that ranks them second. I don't know who the first is, but that ranks them second, which is amazing. You know what? They gave, I didn't like, you know, and it'll lead to some of my defensive issues, but two plays, a 21 yard rush that led to a 13 yard pass completion. Yeah, a 21-yard rush that led to a 16-yard pass completion to T. Higgins for 16 yards that led to the field goal right before half. So, and I just didn't like how the offense was kind of executing there right before half. So, even though they scored a lot of points, I didn't like kind of how they've been going about it. So, that's my issue with the end of first half of kind of managing, because I think it's going to bite him in the ass against better teams.
So just to paint the picture, the Patriots kick a 41-yard field goal to go up 17-10. After the kickoff, the Bengals take over with just 18 seconds left and on their own 10-yard line, on their own 18-yard line. And two plays later, Ted, as you mentioned, they're kicking a 63-yard field goal. And you weren't the only one that was annoyed. I thought Mike Vrabel had an air of annoyance at halftime. I don't know if it was going into halftime or coming out of halftime. He was annoyed at the way the end of the second quarter played out with the point. So the Bengals end up kicking their field goal, which kind of wipes out the field goal you kicked. You put yourself in position to score late in the two-minute drill, and then they matched.
A little soft on that T. Higgins coverage, too, there. Gonzo, who we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, we need to get to him. Okay, this is
Stevens from the back. Fourth and goal. May. Oh, stuck again. They're pushing. He's not going to go through. Osai. Stone. They stop him again.
How about that?
With a goal line stand.
The Patriots had issues on the goal to go. The goal line situations would be an understatement. Ted Johnson, the floor is yours.
Yeah, that was really, really just that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And you know what? So you get on fourth down, you don't convert the fourth down, but you get a penalty that extends. You get four more downs to try and get it in again, and you still can't.
Nope.
What I loved, you know, and I just boom, my hat's off to you, Stink. I just think having Stink on every
awesome
has been fantastic, and he said it perfectly. You gotta. And this came up in the post game on NBC Sports Boston. Would you rather be a team that you know, at a lower percentage but better than most teams, can convert third and longs, or would you rather be a team that consistently is able to gain first downs on second and one and third and one?
The latter,
without question.
Yeah,
The Patriots on second and one and third and one. There's like 35. We came up with this on the breakdown. 35 attempts so far this year in second and one and third and one.
and they're 53%. That is the worst in the NFL. 53% on converting second and one and third and one. That's a joke. And what I loved about Stink is you got to be able to run the football when everybody in the stadium knows it, when everybody at home watching knows it, when the other team absolutely knows it. You still should be able to run for a yard in the seven attempts or six attempts from the one. They couldn't get in. That was embarrassing.
Can I ask you a question, Professor Johnson? Because I heard Mike Vrabel a couple different times, I think on the Greg Hill show and in his press conference, bring up personnel, something about the offensive personnel. Is it an excuse or is it a reason to say maybe not having Tonga out there?
Sorry.
Tonga wasn't available. Tonga.
Vrabes, you know what? You know, bud, you know, I love you, but that's, come on, man. I mean, that's, you know, for the, you know, just the average fan, somebody doesn't really know football that well. That'll pass.
Okay.
But here's, let me just tell you, the personnel groupings. Okay, that were used down at the goal line four times. So this is, they had however many chances. I think 11 chances when they got, no, it was 10 chances or 9 chances when they got to the 5 yards. So it's just from the 5 yard line in, four times they were in 11 people, which is a passing form, grouping.
Yep.
And they threw the ball three times and did one draw out of 11 people. On the fourth and goal that ultimately was the turnover on downs. They used 12 people twice, which is a bigger personnel. They used 23 people, which is two running backs and three tight ends. Mm. So that's the personnel you want.
Yeah.
They used that twice, okay? And they used 22 people, which is two tight ends, two backs, and a wide receiver. Used that two times. So they used 23 people, which is a big personnel, 22 people, two times, which is a big personnel, and still couldn't get the ball in. I don't care. Tonga isn't the only guy that you can use to get a first down or at least gain one and a half yards. So I don't use that as an excuse.
How about Josh McDaniels? Is this on him?
It's not. Oh, well, people go, well, why are you running so much? They tried a play action twice in that series. Two times. One, he tripped.
Yeah.
All right. And the other one was a pass interference call on Mac Hollins.
Yep.
Right? And, heck, the other one might have been, I don't think it was the booty penalty was just, it wasn't a play action. But the Mac Hollins penalty and the one where he tripped penalty was play action. So he used play action. So I don't, that people are going to go, oh, all he did was run. No, he used play actions. They just couldn't execute.
T. Higgins moments ago. And a long examination. They take him off in a cart. They try to follow up. First and 10 with Flacco to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Mitchell Tinsley.
Who is going to be the guy to step up? And Tinsley that time, one-on-one against their best corner, Gonzalez.
Oof. What do we think of Gonzalez, boys, in that game?
Not good. And I thought
mediocre.
You can ask Fitzy post game show. That play you just played the audio from, I thought was the worst slash most alarming play in that football game. Watching their number four receiver just toast a guy who's supposed to be one of the top two or three corners in football with ease. He's in press coverage, doesn't touch him, and
press
then
coverage.
And then he's chasing him.
He got beat off the line.
It was non competitive.
Yeah. Yeah. He missed his jam.
Yeah.
So he still recovered, but it wasn't. You can't defend the perfect pass. So if you miss your jam, you better be exceptional at getting back and covering because it's almost impossible if you miss the jam. And he missed his jam.
And it reminded me a little bit of it was Fields and
Mitchell. 15.
Toasted him, but he was good enough. They're bad enough.
No, they were bad enough.
Okay,
bad throw.
So they were bad enough that he gets back in the play. Right. This time, Joe Flacco's
a good quarterback would have hit Mitchell.
Like Joe Flacco.
Like Joe, yeah, right.
Candy, baby, touchdown.
Dude, so I didn't, you know what? I didn't like the energy from Gonzo. And this has been a knock on Gonzo, is the energy. Like, he doesn't have that dog in him.
Mm.
I didn't see a dog in him. You have the fourth receiver out there, and you're in press coverage, and he beat you for a fade route. That is the most emasculating probably play for a cornerback. I didn't like he was cavalier about how he played Mitchell, and it worked out because the quarterback was so bad. This week,
You got a Flacco's a good quarterback. No matter what people say, he's a good quarterback against a bad receiver, and that's what you give up. I didn't like that at all.
Dan Ball.
Andy, you wanted me to remind you of the video that we broke down, the post-game video with Vrabel giving everybody high fives and daps and stuff like that, where Gonzalez looked like he couldn't be bothered when things go wrong. Yeah. So this is your reminder of that.
Okay, yeah, and I don't love his body language, and I think what you're insinuating at, Ted, is does he play to the level of the guy across from him? If that's Ja'Marr Chase, does he treat that matchup differently than it's Mitchell?
I think he does.
I think he does, too.
And that concerns me.
That's not good.
You know what? Okay, this is a really good receiver. I'm going to get up hype for this. You know, T.U. Higgins, all right. You know, you see him breaking up, you know, passes all day. Oh, this is the fourth string guy. I'm not gonna truly try that hard. Well, you got beat on that. That's not the mentality you're looking for.
I'll tell you what you are.
Borgalis, who is 3 of 3 today, 52-yard field goal try. No wind, and he'll get it. It's 26-20 New England.
That is Andy Borgalis. We questioned it earlier in the year, getting a game ball when he missed a couple PATs in Miami. Andy Borgalis, 4 field goals on Sunday in Cincinnati. You don't win without him, Ted Johnson.
You know what? I've been impressed with Andy Borgalis. He missed 2 extra points and a field goal through the first 2 games. He's only missed 1 since. He was nails. That was a gutsy call there with a little less than 2 minutes. That 52-yarder, he doesn't make it. You know, they got a short field.
Yep.
So I thought there was a lot of pressure in that kick. So Andy Borgalis, I tip the cap to you, my man. I don't need to say much about him. Just keep making your field goals, and you're going to be okay.
And his acclimation, I didn't actually hear this, but somewhere along the lines, I guess someone asked him about playing in the cold, and they asked him what he considered cold, and he said something like 70 degrees as a Florida guy. And they were like, oh, boy, that's not good when you're young. Yes, Dan Ball.
He is 7th in the NFL in field goal percentage amongst kickers who have played at least 10 games.
Yeah.
So amongst the regulars, he's a top 10 guy, and I don't think anybody had that on their bingo card this year.
The biggest compliment I can say is when I watch him, I think the field goal is going to be good. Like when they line up, I just assume or presume that the field goal is going to be good. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll continue to break down the win in Cincinnati, the highs, the lows. TED Talk continues next here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On WEEI. TED Talk.
Here we go. First and 10, escaping traffic. Wide open, Henry. That's a Patriot touchdown.
That was Hunter Henry, who, as we roll along here in the TED Talk here on a Tuesday with Ted Johnson on WEEI Afternoons, I believe I saw this set a career high for receiving yards.
He did.
Which felt like, oh, that didn't, I feel like he's had good games before. But
like
yes.
It's just kind of quietly.
Yeah,
just,
quiet career
but
high.
But that's kind of what I've been doing with Hunter Henry, is ignoring all the quiet games he has, which are good games.
Right.
Solid games, consistency. Give me consistency over anything else. You know, you don't have to, like, wow me all the time or every now. I would give me a guy that I know I can count on every single week to do his job. Parcells famously said in one of our meetings, look, I want to know what I'm going to get from every guy every week. So if you're an average player, I expect you to play average. I expect you to play up to what you have shown me. If you're a great player, I don't want a great game one day, or 1 week, and then a bad game the next. I want you to play great every week. This is the guy that I would say plays up to his potential every single week. He's third on the team in reception yards. You count on him every single week. He doesn't get injured. I become the biggest fan of Hunter Henry, so I was sorry, Hunter, if you're listening, that I was ever critical of you. I apologize because this guy is money. Money, money, money.
We're going to let that slide, what he just said. We were all over Andy when he said nothing bad could happen the rest of this season. He just said Hunter Henry doesn't get injured. I'm just saying we're leaving it right there when we're moving on.
That's right.
Here with the TED Talk.
I taking some flack yesterday, yeah.
So I
love the back. Flacco will go underneath. Oh, it's picked off. That's a pick six. Kiss him goodbye. Marcus Jones. Our second pick six in this one.
You know what we can do? Because we used to do this sometimes when we got off. Like, we'd be three periods into a practice, and we'd be practicing so bad, they just start the practice over.
You want to start this over?
Just start it over. Andy, we're going to start this
I
over.
I got to write audio now. But Marcus Jones, I think we've declared, we have fights over the phrase my guy on this show, but I think we've declared for this show with his Patriots Monday interviews and the way he's playing, our guy Marcus Jones made a huge play.
Yeah, no, I mean, what's not to like about this guy? I mean, honestly, you just hit the humility is something to behold. Like, it's just in today's game, it just his humility really stands out amongst the other players. He's the first guy, let's put it this way, the first guy from the old regime that the Patriots decided to re-up.
Yep.
And I mean, there's still a handful of guys from the old regime. Not many, but none of them are they're all on a trial basis right now. So Gonzo, let's go. You know, there's guys, other guys that they've kept around that from the old regime that I think are maybe on borrowed time. And when you look at all the other guys they've released, but he's just been, to me, tremendous. He's been a key part of their run defense, although these last couple games, but I don't think he's the problem. He's not the problem. He's not the one getting pushed back into the linebacker's laps, Marcus Jones. So, and he's still top in punt returns in the league. So just an absolute gem of a player and had another great game.
Fitzy, Ted brings up the contract extension, the old guard, you know, getting a holdover contract, new contract. Bigger than that even, and something we've talked about, Fitzy, is he was anointed a captain. So he's kind of a Bill player who was anointed a captain under Vrabel. He's kind of he's the only one, right? He's
the exception to the rule that, that he was able to surf over the whole entitlement edict that had led him to get rid of the previous captains as well. His talent was undeniable, and obviously he was held onto for a reason. And the fact that he's the third leading tackler, has three picks, a pick six, and Vrabel knows, as he mentioned in his interview on the Greg Hill Show Monday, they need to get him going again and get him another, I believe he said, as far as punt return touchdowns.
Which is something that's quieted. And even yesterday when we talked to him, Fitzy, about that, you know, he not surprisingly was talking, oh, my guys are working hard and they're getting this done. And he actually credited other teams with the way they punted the ball to him, a lot of hang time.
That was an excellent point when I heard him. So people, finish that thought. You tell people what he means with hang time.
So the ball is in the air longer, putting more pressure on him to make decisions and his decision-making. The one thing he didn't do in that whole answer was say, guy's got to block it better. Like, he didn't take a Shador Sanders approach. Maybe if they blocked for me, I'd have bigger plays. No. He put it on himself for decision-making, and he put it on the other teams for successfully putting the ball in the air longer.
So teams, look, you got a great punt returner? Okay. There's two ways you can – there's three things you can do, okay? One would be you angle punt.
Yep. Directional.
So, directional punt. So you want to – you basically want the punt returner to catch the ball within a couple – yards of the sideline. Whenever you see a guy catching the ball on the couple yards from the sideline, you know that was a great punt.
Right.
Two, kick the sucker out of bounds. And three, put more hang time on it. Yep. Ideally, you put hang time and make it a corner kick. And that's what teams are doing. That's how they are negating his effectiveness. So there is a point in which there's not much he can do in that situation. However, I will reference a player because the Patriots played the Bengals this year, and it's one of my favorite all-time stats that I got to quiz you guys on.
Okay.
Bengals player with the most punt returns without calling a fair catch is...
Bengals player with the...
Punt returner for the Bengals who did not call a fair catch in how many...
Alex Erickson.
Nope. Okay. Alex Erickson. Nope. Erickson, he's kind of a famous guy off the...
Chris Collinsworth.
Off the... Okay. Chris didn't... I don't think he returned punts.
I didn't either, but he's famous and he played for the Bengals.
Okay. Famous for things he did off the field, maybe a little bit.
Ocho Cinco.
Pac-Man Jones.
Adam Pac-Man Jones. Can you guess how many punt returns he had without calling a fair catch in a row?
40.
39.
How about double that?
80.
And keep going.
5.
85, 89, 92, 94, 95. How about 96 punt returns without a fair catch?
Figures. He was a little nuts, maybe. There may be some questionable screws loose or whatever.
So, come on, Marcus. I mean, let's go. Why are you fair catching it? Let's go.
All right. That's going to wrap up the first edition of TED Talk on a Tuesday post-Bengals. But we have some leftovers, a little TED Talk extra up next here on WEEI Afternoons. And I think we may kick things off with Mike Vrabel, his attitude after the game, blaming certain people, maybe certain people that we're a part of, for the injuries on the offensive line. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.